keep it real simple, keep it real simple. Bring everything right back to ground zero, cause it all comes down to this. Love God and love people. We live in a world that keeps breaking, but if we want to find a way to change it, it all comes down to this. Love God and love people.
Good morning, Simple Church. Let me hear you this morning. Come on. Oh, yeah. You got a lively crowd in here, man. Welcome back to the series Stay Positive, man. It is all about doing our very best to have a good attitude and work through all the chaos of the world we live in. And we are so thankful that you joined us today. And when you start thinking about staying positive, it is true that over the last few weeks we've talked about gratitude. No doubt that is huge. Having a good attitude is also important, maybe even bigger than that. But if I'm going to tell you about staying positive and give you advice today, there is something that is most important. Take your pens out, write it down, get your phone, put it in there. Are you ready? Here it is. Our words matter. Can I get an amen somewhere? You can talk about attitude. You can talk about being grateful. All of those things are important. But what really matters when it talks about staying positive, staying in that good place, it is what comes out of your mouth. Now, we all know that in our minds, there can be some discouraging voices. You can hear different words play in your head that can mess with you. And then not even mention what's going on in culture. So you can have your own battles going on, and then you're trying to mind your own business, and man, it starts coming in. Social media is one example. I'll put a picture on the screen for you just so you can understand exactly what's going on in our culture. Let's put it up here for you. You all understand that words and all of these different things are coming into your head from all kinds of places. And then in our culture for our kids, it goes into a whole nother thing because it's all about being bullied as well online and going through difficult circumstances where people just say what they want to say, use the words in these environments that they feel like no one's listening, or maybe they feel like everybody's listening. And here's the truth. It is affecting all of us, what they're saying and what you choose to listen to and what words you put into your mind. Now, we've all heard growing up, sticks and stones break my bones, but words never hurt me. Well, I found this image as well because I think it's very true. We all understand words do hurt. They are very powerful. And this is why the challenge for you and I today is very simple. If you're going to stay positive, got to have a good attitude, no doubt. You got to be grateful for sure, but you have to watch what you say. You have to watch how you use your mouth and how you use your words. Proverbs says it very clearly. You've probably heard this before. This isn't new if you grew up in church, but let's be reminded. The tongue has the power of both what? Life and what? Death. Now, why is this important to remember? It's because what you say can encourage or it can knock you down. And you and I have the responsibility of going, I can manage the words that I'm using. And we know that it's not easy. This pastor will be the first to admit, I have made mistakes. I have said things I shouldn't have said. I have done things I shouldn't have done. But really, my mouth, because I talk for a living, can get out of hand and God has to really rein me in and go, hey man, watch your mouth. And I have a feeling I'm not the only one. Maybe you struggle with that as well. And when you think about what God's calling us to, He is saying, listen, your words are powerful. Your words make a difference. You can either bring life or you can bring death. Which way are you going to go with it? And in our culture, there are words that we see in many different forms. For example, you can write words out. And I have seen that this past week. Now, hang on, because typically I don't talk about anything like this. But everybody's like, uh-oh, hold on. What's he going to talk about? Well, speaking of staying positive, how about the written words that you saw in the news this past week? This is an image so that you can understand exactly what's going on. At the top, you see the headline. President Biden says Trump wrote him a very generous letter. Of all of the negativity, of all of the things that have caused us to divide, let's pause for a positive moment. Because in the midst of everything's going on, words were chosen to be written down to be positive. Now, if you go, well, this is a new thing. Well, actually, it's not. I'll show you a couple of other letters. This tradition has gone on, no matter who is in office, over and over, year after year after year. And what do they say? Why is this so important? It's because they're choosing their words to say, I'm with you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to be praying for you. And it doesn't matter who was coming in or who was going out of office. It was one way to stay positive with their words. One of my favorite is this one right here from George Bush when he was writing to Barack. And he basically was telling him, man, I'm with you. Although we're in different political parties, I am praying for you and I am supporting you and I am your biggest fan. And if you don't believe me, go look it up. I've printed it out for you because now they're sharing these to remind everybody of what? The power of our words. It's not just the words that are written down, as we saw in culture and as we've seen over the years, that is also the power of spoken words. Words even that can be sung at times. And so what I did for you this morning was to combine two things, the spoken word and the word that is sung, and you will see once again everything in them trying to be positive, to try to push to a new place for all of us. Written word, sung word, spoken word, here it is, all combined together. Watch this.
And so we lift our gaze not to what stands between us, but what stands before us. We close the divide because we know to put our future first. We must first put our differences aside. We lay down our arms so we can reach out our arms to one another. We seek harm to none and harmony for all. Let the globe, if nothing else, say this is true.
Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. We'll look around and love somebody we've been hating for long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love, undivided. Oh yeah, undivided. Oh yeah.
Come on, give a little Louisiana love to old Tim McGraw, huh? Now, let me explain this to you. Already, some of you are trying to wrap your head around this whole thing. You're like, wait a second. What are you trying to say? It's pretty easy when you look at God's word, what I'm trying to say. James chapter 3, write it down. Listen to what I'm saying. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. So this is why when I play a song or if I'm talking about someone speaking words or someone writing words or we make it personal and you look at the words that you choose to use this week, you have to understand and I have to understand the importance of what God is telling us. This is a big deal. You can accomplish anything or you can destroy it. How? Simply by the words that you use. And as believers, our job is to not only have a good attitude, not only to be grateful, but to be careful with our words. And what's amazing to me is when you read scriptures like this and you look at the word over and over again, that it was written thousands of years ago, but it still applies to exactly where we're at today in our culture. Now, some of you are going, well, how does this really apply to us? Come on, man. If you're living in America, you got to understand the power of words. If you're living in this culture, you have to understand, whether it's social media or whether it, again, is what you're watching, whether it's your people at work, in school, we understand that our words are powerful. But God's word has been saying this for thousands of years. Here's another great example. James chapter 3, and this is from the Message translation. It only takes a spark to set a forest fire. We get that. We can understand. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do just that. It continues on, because by our speech, we can ruin the world and turn harmony to chaos. Send the whole world up in smoke. How? By simply what we say, by this, by our tongue. Now, why is this important for us to understand in our current world? Because you have a responsibility, just like I do, to go, all right, God, help me with what I say. Help me, God, that I would be a light, that I would be an encouragement. Now, I think we all can understand the negative side of our words, how it can burn things up and cause chaos and really tear some stuff up. But it is also true when you look at God's word, there's a positive side to it as well. And you go, well, what do you mean? This is why it's so important. It's not just like you're just trying to fluff things up. Take it up with the scripture then, because Hebrews says this, encourage each other every day. So take a little inventory of your life. Is that what you start off with on Facebook? Is that what you start off with your husband, with your wife, with your kids? Because I can be honest with you, I'm a preacher and I don't always start my day like that. I know that I got work to do in this area. I am not great at being positive all the time or encouraging all the time. So here's the thing, encourage each other every day while you still have something called today. We don't have the promise of that. We don't know what's going to go on tomorrow, but you and I have a responsibility to say, hey, man, I'm with you. I'm praying for you. Man, you're doing a good job. Keep it up, man. I'm thankful for you in my life. And when we do, there's something unique and powerful and special that can bring life into circumstances and situations. Hebrews 3:13 continues and says this, help each other so that none of you will be fooled by sin and become too hard to change. Well, how do we help each other? Encouraging, looking for the positive, finding ways to say, man, I'm thankful for you. Encouraging people that it's going to get better, that they're going to make it. And every day, you and I have a choice. You can be positive with your words, or you can be negative. Now, I'm not good at it. It doesn't come natural to me. And I know what some of you are saying. Well, me neither. It just don't come natural to me. Well, here's some encouraging news for you. Walking didn't come natural either. You remember when you was a kid, you was falling around and stumbling around, but eventually, through practice, you figured it out. In the same way, that's what I'm going, God, help me to practice being encouraging, finding something positive, looking for the good, and representing you more than anything else. And I got a long way to go, Jesus, so help me. And here's the key. If you go, well, Justin, what am I supposed to do? Give me something practical today, preacher. Write this down. Get your phone book out. You know, phone book. You know, your phone. Put it in your phone. Anybody know what a phone book is? Yeah, thank you, Kurt. I know you do. You know what I'm saying. Here's the deal, though. Get your phone out. Get a book out. Write this down. If you think of something good to say, then say it. Can I get an amen on that? This is simple. If you think something good, something comes to your mind on a friend, on circumstances, situation, whatever it is, make sure that you don't just hold it in. Say it. To your kids, to your spouse, to your coworkers, to your friends, to your community. Does it really make a difference, Justin? Why should I do this? Does it really make a difference? Yes, and I'm gonna prove it to you. With everything going on, you wanna know the power of your words? You wanna know what encouragement does? I ran across this video this week, and it's a pretty powerful story because it was not just spoken word, it was written word. And every time they saw this written word, it encouraged them, it challenged them, it reminded them. And this young man was in a very difficult, dark situation and needed some encouragement. What am I talking about? Watch this and you'll find out. Check it out.
I assumed I just had the flu. I'm from a rural area in Tuscarawas County. To be the very first patient to pick it up in a county that is rural as we are, I don't know how it happened. I was on full life support, so I had a ventilator. There was a time during this process where the hospital reached out to my wife and had to have the discussion about end of life options. Then at the bottom, you know, they wrote, "We will get you home." I don't know that I have ever seen such selfless people in my life. I really saw the love of God through these people. Just the ability to get back to the point where I could pick up my two little girls, hug them, and I'm my wife. I feel like I've got a second chance at life.
Give him a little love this morning. The power of the written word. Yes, it's God's word is reminding us of this simple truth. But then you and I have to put it into action. These doctors, these nurses, use the ICU room glass to write letters, to write notes to the people battling in those rooms. And now we see and we hear from him, he wanted to write a note back to say, man, thank you. Thanks for your encouraging words. Thanks for being there. Thanks for not giving up. And let's be honest, there's a lot of people in our culture that need some good words in their life. And where are they going to come from? Hopefully, prayerfully, after this message, they're going to come from you. They're going to come from me. We're going to continue to get better at using our words to uplift, to encourage, as opposed to tear down. We're going to use our words to give life as opposed to, man, cause chaos and death. And I know what some of you are thinking. It's like, well, I mean, I hear you, but I'm not in the hospital. I'm not a nurse, first responder. I mean, I'm not in those worlds. Well, listen, if I have learned anything over the last year, I have learned this truth. Everyone that you see is fighting a battle that you don't know anything about. Everyone. So this is why when you go to the grocery store, it's important to be careful with your words. Because you don't know what that man or that woman is going through. When you have a waiter at your table, it's why it's important to be patient and to use your words to encourage and to uplift as opposed to get frustrated and mad. I understand the world's weighing on you and all this stuff's going on. And when we continue to put negativity and hate and ugly into us, it's easy for it to come out even on an innocent waiter. But I'm challenging you, let's work on what Christ calls us to work on. Be careful with our words. Speak life into people, whether it's the grocery worker, the waiter, a coworker, a fast food worker. You and I have a responsibility of going, man, I got to think about this person more than myself, because everyone that we see is fighting a battle that we know nothing about. My wife is so good at this. I am amazed at watching Angie when we go to a restaurant or we go to a fast food place, because somehow, some way, she will look at that person and tell them something good about them. I'm not that good at it, but she'll go, man, I love your hair. Man, I love that outfit. And I can tell you with 100% accuracy, every time she says something positive to them, you know what happens to them? They smile. They all just go, thank you. This is the power of being positive with your words, speaking life into them. And what if, as believers, that's what we were known for? What if, as followers of Christ, we were not known for anything else but uplifting and speaking life into people? And you and I have an opportunity to do it today and each and every day. Now, here's the thing. You and I have no idea what God might do through one single word of encouragement. When you think about this, we don't know what our words are going to do for them. You don't know the importance of when you're a teacher, if you speak life into a kid. Or again, if you're a boss and you come in and find the positive in the middle of a circumstance or situation, this is the power that God calls us to say, man, you don't know what you're going to do for someone. And you got to understand that it's not always easy. I get it. You can even look back at the scripture and remember Job, who's going through all the stuff that he was going through, and his so-called friends were really trying to encourage him, but they didn't do such a good job. They kept just knocking him down and using their words, not in a positive, uplifting way, but in a discouraging way. So Job writes this, which I love. He's like, what miserable comforters you are. Like, hey, man, appreciate y'all. So think about it. If you're in a life group, if you're a mom, a dad, a grandparent, a friend, what a miserable comfort. What makes you keep on talking? I mean, this is great right here. I could spout off criticism and shake my head at you. But if it were me, I would encourage you. I would try to take away your grief. What is Job saying? He's like, listen, man, we got a choice. I could do what you do. I could do what everybody else does. I could go on the negative, rant. I could talk about all the negative things that are going on in our world, in our country, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in your home. But I will try to find a way to be a comforter, to speak good in, to find a way to point to the light, to pick you up, as opposed to knock you down. So as I say all that I've said so far, take a little inventory of your life. which one are you? If you were to really just stop right now and go, man, I am an encourager. Don't look at your spouse right now. Keep looking ahead. You know what I'm saying? Because the people that are closest to us know us. The people that you work with, they know you. And the challenge for all of us is we could all be better. And why is this such an important lesson? And why do I want to talk about it today? Because our world needs it more than ever. And as the church, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, shouldn't that be where we live? Shouldn't it be that that is who we are and what we say and how we live our lives and what you're posting on Facebook and how you're treating other people? This is the call. This is not like, well, it's a suggestion. It might work. It's like thousands of years ago, all of those truths were written down for us in this modern world, and it's a gift that God has given us to be reminded of it. This is the truth that I want you to remember as well. Positive words are difficult to remember, but negative words are difficult to forget. Can I get an amen on that somewhere? You know how it is, man. Somebody will say something positive to you, and you just, oh, yeah, and you let it go on. But boy, if somebody says something negative, man, it just pierces your heart. It stays with you. And this is where I feel bad. As a dad, I have messed this up. As a boss, I have messed it up. As a husband, I have messed it up. As a friend, I've messed it up. And so I'm going, God, I don't want to be that way. Man, start helping me today to be different. God, help me to realize that the power of life and death is right here, and that I want to be known as someone who is positive. I want to put so many positive words in their life that they can't help but go, man, that's what I've been impacted by. That's what I remember. This has stuck with me. And I want you to do the same thing. Evaluate yourself. Ask yourself that question. Regardless of what culture has done, where are you? Positive, encourager, are always looking at the negative, always knocking down. This is our challenge. Now, I know what some of you are saying. Is there really the power of life and death in your tongue? Well, you know I love to give you modern-day illustrations. God's word is true, and it was true thousands of years ago, and it's true today, but can they give me an illustration of that being true right now? Well, I'm glad you asked, because my buddy, Steve Hartman, is going to teach you again. You're like, man, does that guy have a Steve Hartman video every week? Yes! You mean tell you why? Because the guy is really good at saying, let me bring it in perspective. Let me remind you of the power of your words. Let me remind you of the battle that everyone's facing and how you and I can make a difference simply with the words we choose. Watch.
Don't let the bedroom light fool you. Inside this home, and too many others like it in America, it can get pretty dark.
There are a lot of kids out there that suffer from depression and anxiety.
Not many are willing to talk about it on national television.
Not many are willing to talk about it, period.
Noah Brocklebank is a seventh grader from Columbia, Maryland. He's okay with people calling him depressed, mainly because over the past couple years, he's been called worse.
Like, fat, ugly, annoying, loser. The saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I really don't think that really applies.
Noah's mother, Karen, says the bullying, combined with the underlying depression, ultimately led to the night of January 26th.
It's so scary. You just want to save him, you know?
That night, her son posted a clear warning on the internet, a picture of his arm all cut up and a note that read, "Day of Scheduled Suicide, February 8th, 2013. My birthday." It was to be his 13th birthday.
Just felt like everything was worthless. My life was terrible. I had no one.
After that, Noah ended up in the hospital for 8 days. And while he was in there, while his doctors assessed his mental health, his mother came up with a plan to improve his vision. A plan for Noah to see more clearly how much he matters, how much he's loved, and that there really is life beyond seventh grade.
Good morning.
So to that end, she asked some friends on Facebook to put all that in a letter to Noah. She was hoping for at least a couple responses.
But we got more than a couple.
What happened next is a remarkable testament.
Dear Noah,
to both the power of social media and the kindness of strangers.
I know it is hard to believe right now, but life gets better, I promise.
Noah has received thousands of letters from every continent on the planet, including Antarctica.
Noah, your life matters.
The sheer volume alone has brightened up this place a million watts.
It has totally restored my faith in humanity.
How has this changed you?
I was focused on, like, the bad side of the people, like, the bullies. Then I realized that there are caring people out there that could be my friends.
Noah still has his good days and his bad. But now, whenever he does have one of those down days, he's got a pile of friends to turn to.
Yeah, I'm not going to be done reading my letters until I'm, like, your age.
I guess he's in for a long, long life. Steve Hartman, on the road.
You're not that old.
In Columbia, Maryland.
Come on, man, give it up for my boy, Steve Hartman. I hope you get it. I mean, I don't know if through the beginning, you know, you got sideways because I was trying to get you going there, and you're like, oh, the words, or I don't know if I want to go down the road of looking at political, or I don't want to go through whatever you're thinking in your head. But let me tell you, our words matter more than ever. And for once, we actually see a story of positive social media. Amen? It can be used for good. And this is the challenge for each and everybody who's watching today, is don't get caught up in all the negativity, but follow what Jesus calls us to do. He gives us his word for a reason. When you look at the book of Proverbs, you look at Hebrews, you look at all these stories, James, why is he saying all of these things? Because thousands of years ago, it was just like it is today. People were saying stuff they shouldn't say and doing stuff they shouldn't do. And they were using their tongue to tear down as opposed to lift up. And we were going, man, shouldn't it be different? And now we know through modern stories the power of our words, that people are using those words to tear that young man down. But yet his mom, at the darkest moment, said, man, please help me. Write some words of encouragement. Help my kid out. And it saves his life. The power of life and death in written word, spoken word. Now you say, well, Justin, why are you talking about all this? Well, we're doing something called 52 Weeks of Do Good, doing something positive. And I'm going to put on the screen for you an address, because we're going to have a little experiment and see how it works. Is this right here is the address to the Shreveport-Bossier Rescue Mission, 901 McNeil Street in Shreveport, Louisiana. So what am I asking you to do? I'm asking you to write a note of encouragement. I'm asking you to write to either the guests that are there or to the workers that volunteer and the workers that give their life to serve the homeless in Shreveport-Bossier area. Now, why would I ask you to do this? It's because Robin, this past week, Do Good coordinator, missions pastor, she's taking care of all these different things that we're doing. When she calls down the rescue mission, she realizes with COVID, with all the division, with all the politics, with all the hate, with all the things that are going on, they're taking a hit. She's like, man, they could really use some encouragement. So I was like, let's do it. Let's rally. Let's find a way to send a note and encouragement to them. Now, I know what some of you think. Well, I don't really know them that well. That's okay. You don't have to send it there. Let me challenge you with another address, another email, another phone call to make. Maybe God's going to speak to you and say, man, this is the person I need to call. This is the person I need to text. This is the letter that I need to write. This is the person that I need to send the email to. Because let me tell you something, your words mean way more than you'll ever imagine. And you have the power to bring up or to tear down. And we all remember the negative words, but maybe you need to send an encouragement word to them to say, man, this is what I see in you, and this is what I'm thankful for in you, and this is why I thank God for you. Don't let this service, this day, go by without doing it. Why? Because it matters. Your words matter, whether they're written, whether they're spoken, whether they're sung. It doesn't matter. Just understand the power that you and I have right here. There's one last video to encourage you with, to challenge you with. Listen close, and then I'll come back and close us out in prayer. Watch.
You don't have a ton of things in common with God. But there is one thing. You speak. So does he. God spoke light into existence with his words. I wonder what you could speak into existence with your words this week. I wonder what kind of love you could speak into your marriage that feels like it's in neutral. I wonder what kind of courage you could speak into the heart of a child who's hurting. I wonder what kind of peace you could speak into your broken friendship. What kind of hope you could speak into your own weary soul. I want you to know that the most powerful words you're gonna speak this week is probably not gonna be on a stage or a conference call or closing the deal with a client that you want. The most powerful words you're gonna speak is probably just with one or two people listening, maybe zero. It's totally possible that the most powerful sentence you'll say this week is a thoughtful text message that you send to a friend who's walking through the valley of the shadow of death. It's the apology email that you finally get the courage to send. It's the whispered prayers through tears in the middle of a dark night. Powerful words aren't just for preachers who stand behind pulpits. They're for parents who stand next to bunk beds. Speak life to your kids. For spouses who share hopes and dreams during pillow talk, and not criticism. For teenagers who stand up to bullies. Stand up for the uncool kids. Your tongue is so small, but so powerful. Your tongue is telling a story.
Would you pray with me? Father, I ask you to forgive me, to help me. God, for somebody that needs you to come into their life, I pray that they would do that right now. Jesus, I messed up and I need you. Come into my life and forgive me and help me to follow you. God, with my life, with my actions, and yes, even with my tongue. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Can I get an amen somewhere? Come on, y'all. Have a good time today. Did you learn anything? Come on, did you learn anything? Good. Here's the challenge, all right? We're fixing to go into a post show. Not everybody hangs around for that, but you're welcome to hang around with it. The message is done. The music. Did the band do good today? Come on, give them a little encouraging love. Yes, of course. We're going to go into a post show. I got two calls coming in, one from Hawaii, one from Dallas. We're going to talk to some friends and talk about what's going on in those communities. And then also we're going to go to Robin. She's going to tell you more about 52 weeks of doing good and how you can be a part of helping not only the rescue mission, but maybe somebody else right here in this community. All right? I love y'all. Thanks for being here this morning. Thanks for watching. Until next week, what do we say? Peace. Here we go.
Thank you so much for joining us for the service today. If you haven't followed us yet on Instagram or Facebook, we'd love for you to do that. We also have a YouTube channel that houses all of our sermons for you to enjoy. Our special event videos, outtake videos, music from our incredible band, and so much more. Go to our YouTube channel and hit subscribe. That way you don't miss out on any of the great content that we add to it each week. I also wanted to let you know that we'll be kicking off our spring session of life groups in a few weeks. If you would like more information about that, please email me, amber@thesimplechurch.tv, and I'll get you connected to a life group that suits you. And last but not least, if you have a desire to start a life group with your circle of friends, I'm here to help you. You provide the friends, and I'll provide the content for you guys to work through together. Because as we like to say with our life group family, life together is definitely better. Thanks again for watching. You guys have a great week.